بسم الله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين، بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك توغى وتمتعه فيها طويلا. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
The authentic books that we have, and from centuries and centuries we have been relying upon them, their writers, all those who have written these books, they are people who are aware, who are qualified, who are researchers, who are very knowledgeable. Some of them have been regarded very highly by Ma'sumin, like Fazl bin Shazan, who lived during the time of our 8th Imam and the 9th Imam, and he wrote about 50 books. And the two Ma'sums, they glorified him a lot. Or in the present time, which is the era of the Ghaybat al-Sughra of the Imam, again hundreds and thousands of books have been written. In the worst situations, where the writers who are the ulama, they wrote many books. Among these great personalities who wrote these divine books, which today are an asset, and until this dunya remains, their hard work will remain. Among them are ulama who were imprisoned and who had no access to any pen, any paper. And from the windows of the prisons, these leaves which used to fell into the cell, they used to take the stem of the leaf as the pen, their veins as the ink pot, their blood as the ink, and they wrote down the books of fiqh of Ahlul Bayt. Now this book is called Sharh al-Lughah, which today is among the books which is taught in the houses throughout the world. And so long as these books live, and so long as those people who studied from these books live, these people, they will be benefited, they will benefit from the thawab of whatever was performed by them. So books that are eternal, their life does not come to an end. The awareness in the Shia world, and the best of the sermons and majalis of Ahlul Bayt, they are all nourished by these books that have been written by such great personalities. And this faith was preserved and saved by the hard work of fuqaha, of mujtahideen, of the orators, speakers. That's why you find that on the Day of Judgment, these two people, that is the writers, the orators who've written these books, etc., they have a very high rank in the hereafter. Imam Askari alayhi salatu was salam,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
In a report he says that everyone who benefited from these individuals and they embraced Islam and they entered into Islam, on the Day of Judgment they will benefit by the shafaat of these people who wrote the books, or by those persons who spoke and the orators who delivered the sermons and speeches. So they too will have that right of Shafa'at on the Day of Judgment. So it's a high rank which Ma'soom gives for the hard work, that is, in the service of Qur'an and Ahlul Bayt. The Prophet also says that they themselves are of more benefit than the sun. The sun, it shines, there's nothing in this whole universe like the sun. It provides heat and light to every corner of this world. From up in the skies to down below the earth and the seas, it provides light, it provides heat. Without that sun, there is no life. And the Prophet says in a quote that the presence of such people who provide benefit to the humanity is more than the sun. And Quran says with reference to these people, says, "Man ahyaha fakannama ahya an-nas jami'an." Says someone who gives life or someone who revives, it is as if he has revived the entire humanity. And the verse before that says that "Man qatala," whosoever kills one person, it is as if he has killed the humanity, the whole humanity. So all these mala'in who step forward in the name of Islam, claim to be Muslims, and detonate themselves and kill hundreds and thousands of people, they are no Muslims. Islam never says to kill anyone. Islam is a peaceful religion. So, man ahyaha fakannama ahya an-nas jami'an. That whosoever gives life to someone, it is as if he has given life to the entire humanity. Giving life to someone is the task of God. Giving life, now the life which we are talking about is not the life which is given by Allah to a dead body, for example. Or the body, or the life which is given to an individual when he is born. That is the task of God. Now there's someone who invites people to the right path, or by way of books, by way of talk, by way of speeches, etc. Or he invites them in a way or increases the level of awareness, that too is again is giving life. That too again is a task of God. So someone who is giving that life, which is the life of intellect or the intellectual life, again is providing a task which is the task of God, where Quran says, "Man ahya an-nasa fakannama ahya an-nasa jami'an wa man ahyaha fakannama ahya an-nasa jami'an." That if someone gives life, it is as if he has given life to the entire humanity. A person comes to our sixth Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu was salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And says that there is a person who is drowning. He's got a family, he's got wife, children, and he is the only one who provides food and shelter to the family. He is drowning. I cannot get to him to help him. And also there's another person present over there. He, if I lose him, that ma'rifah, that awareness which I can provide him, that also will be lost. That opportunity will be lost. That is, that person, he will not get that ma'rifah and he will just remain in that ignorance. What do I do? I cannot get to that person who's drowning. And if I go there, I lose him. If I stay here, I lose him. What do I do? Imam says, stay here and teach him. Remove the ignorance which he has and increase the level of his ma'rifah. Why? Quran says that whosoever gives life to an individual, it is as if he has given life to the humanity.
Yeah.
Guidance, hidayah, before this whole tragedy of Karbala was on a brink of a collapse. That is, the work of 124,000 prophets was going to go down the drain. Everything was on a total loss and collapse. Now that huge investment of Allah was getting lost. Sayyid al-Shuhada, he steps forward. He protects the hard work of all of the prophets. So, assume, we can't even think of that. How much of a reward will he be getting from Allah for that one task of his which unfolded on the day of Ashura? That is his value. Imam protected the prophets by being forgotten. He protected Quran from being forgotten. He protected the Prophet of Islam from being forgotten. That is, if we say every goodness and every good is from Aba Abdullah, we haven't exaggerated. If we say that every good thing and every good deed that is performed and every correct worship today is due to Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, again, that is no exaggeration. This is something which we find in all the ziyarat, in the du'as, and in ahadith. And Ma'sumin, they have admitted it. There are three factors that are means of perfection. If we possess them, if these three elements are found in us, it's easier for us to understand, and a high rank can be achieved, and a prosperous life in this dunya and in the hereafter. The first one is ma'rifah, that is awareness, to increase the knowledge which we have regarding deen. Second is mahabba, love. And the third one is jihad. Jihad is striving in the way of Allah. In Surah Al-Mulk, from its beginning till its end, the entire surah says that those in the hell, they are the ignorant, they are the jahil. The reason why they ended up in that hell was their ignorance. Had they removed their ignorance in this dunya, they wouldn't have ended up over there. Now, does this mean that no alim will ever go to the hell? Indeed, ulama also will go to hell. Quran says that an alim will also go to the hell. There is this ayah that says that فَمَثَلُهُ كَمَثَلِ الْكَلْبِ إِن تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْهِ يَلْهَثْ أَوْ تَتْرُكْهُ يَلْهَثْ. There are some who are knowledgeable, who are intellectual, who know. But their parable is, the example which Quran sets is that they are like the dog. Whether you want them to carry a burden for you, they will bark at you. Leave them alone. Again, he will bark at you. Or elsewhere in Surah Al-Jum'ah says that مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا التَّوْرَاةَ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوا هَا كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُوا أَسْفَارَ. That is, with reference to the Jews, says that they were taught, Torah was revealed in them, but they did not benefit from it, they did not practice it, they did not act in accordance to what that was taught to them. The example for them which Quran sets is that they are like donkeys, just carrying a burden of weight. Among the individuals to whom a lot of knowledge was given was Bal'am bin Ba'ura during the time of Prophet Musa. And it was as such that he was taught with the Ism-i-Azam, which in easier words, it's not a word, it's not a lafz, it is a code word between God and his servants. By the help of that Ism-i-Azam, name of God, they used to perform miraculous deeds. A person, by his hard work and performance, comes to a rank where these things can be seen from him. Bal'am was a person who got that Ism-i-Azam. And people from Bani Israel, they used to come to him and ask him for their hajat, for their du'as. He used to pray, and their du'as also were accepted. So he was known as Mustajab al-Da'wah at the time, whose du'as are always accepted. It so happens that the rulers of that time, they come to Bal'am and say that, we want you to curse Musa. Who's Musa? He is Waliyullah, Khalifatullah, and the Prophet of Allah. The best person in that time on whom Torah is revealed. He sets off to curse Musa on his donkey on the mountain, from there to curse for him to be killed. This animal on which he rides, he says, I will not move. You want me to serve you so that you go and curse Waliullah? Me being a donkey, I will not help you. He doesn't move. Balaam, he lashes, beats up that donkey so much that it dies. And then as a punishment, that Ismaazim that was given to him was taken away from him. And again, as an ibrah, a lesson for the community, his tongue, it grew so long that it reached his belly. So that people, they know, they learn a lesson. So even intellectuals, ulama, people who knew, lived at that time, and even now, and for them is that ultimate end. Or as said by the Prophet of Islam, like a tree that bears no fruit, a person who is unaware is unaware. Someone who is aware but doesn't practice, again, is like a tree which has no fruit. So both are bad. Not knowing is bad, and knowing and not practicing, that too is bad. For both there is a punishment. More or less for both of them, there is a punishment. Now in Quran also we find that, and tens of interpretations as well. In the dua that we have, the Prophet of Islam, he says that, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min nafsin la tashba, wa min qalbin la yakhsha, wa min ilmin la yanfa. That, O God, I seek refuge in you, as if the danger is so huge, that the Prophet says, God, I seek refuge in you. From what? Min ilmin la yanfa. From a knowledge which doesn't benefit. If I know and that knowledge doesn't benefit me, I have to seek refuge in God. I know, and if I don't practice, I know, and if I still remain in darkness, all these are cases where a person needs to seek refuge in God and ask Him to help. Now, all this is regarding awareness, that we have to know, we have to learn. Abu Abdullah has a phrase that he has repeated about 100 times in Dua Arafah. It was mentioned Dua Arafah is recited on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, a very lengthy Dua. If someone recites at a good pace, needs about 1 hour and 20 minutes, 80 minutes. Sayyid al-Shuhada recites this dua in that desert of Arafat under the heat of the sun. And there 100 times there is this repetition. What does he say? He says, Rabbi bima ansha'tani fa'ahsanta surati. God, you created me and you gave me the best form. Rabbi bima ahsanta ilayya wa fi nafsi afaytani. God, you made me benevolent. You made me good in all aspects. وَفِي نَفْسِي عَافَيْتَنِي رَبِّ بِمَا كَنَعْتَنِي وَوَفَّقْتَنِي. God, you made me prosperous. You gave me all those opportunities. رَبِّ بِمَا أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ فَهَدَيْتَنِي. God, with all those blessings that you bestowed upon me, and you guided me. رَبِّ بِمَا أَوْلَيْتَنِي وَمِنْ كُلِّ خَيْرٍ أَعْطَيْتَنِي. With all that benevolence that you gave me. So on and so forth. So Imam, he is reminded and reminds of all the blessings that Allah has given to him. That is, that awareness, that ma'rifah. All that is required by an individual from the moment he is conceived till the moment he dies. All those blessings, all those requirements, all those needs, who provided them? No one else but God. There Sayyid al-Shuhada mentions each one of them. We were just a lump of flesh. What could we do? Nothing. What could our mothers do? Nothing. What could our fathers do? Nothing. Who provided, who created, who sustained, who nourished, who kept? It's all Allah. That is ma'rifah. Imam says that in the middle of the night, who got up to look after you? Whence everyone was asleep, who took care of you? None but Allah. And then who gave you your wife, who gave you your husband, who gave you this life, who gave you your children, who bestowed everything? Who is the one who invested so hugely on you? No one else but Allah. There is this large investment, huge investment from Allah. It shouldn't be as such that in Qiyamah God says that I invested so much for you, what did you invest for me? Have you got anything that could be tempting for me, that I could buy you at a good price or at a low price, at a lavish price? Or shall I just put you on sale in a dollar shop? This is something which we have to ask ourselves, that is there anything in us which is tempting for Allah to buy us at a good price? Why? Allah invested so much in us. How much do we invest in Him? With awareness, never does the investment go wrong. If we know from where we have come, where we are heading to, what is the aim, what is the goal, the investment never goes wrong. But if we don't know what the mabda is, what the ma'ad is, where we have come from, where we are heading to, why we are here, who are we? If we don't know all these questions, then we don't know how to invest. When we don't know how to invest, He also will not buy us. So all these are simple things that we have to understand. That is ma'rifah, that is awareness. In a report says, Ra'sul hikmati afdalul ilm, the best of all the wisdoms is afdalul ilm, is the best of the knowledge which you possess. So the knowledge which we possess, we should try not to put everything in our minds and hearts. Only that which is good, pick and choose and put it in. Because all these different types of knowledges which have no use, which are of no benefit, they contaminate. They ruin us. They ruin us, they create doubts in our minds, they create doubts in our hearts, they create doubts in our existence, and gradually a person ends up in trash. So what we are picking, from where we are picking, what we are choosing and collecting, that is, we have to be very careful. In a report, Ma'asum says, Man asgha ila natiqin faqad abadah. That whosoever listens to a speaker, it is as if he has worshipped him. And then he continues and says that إِنْ كَانَ النَّاطِقُ يَنْتِقُ عَنِ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ عَبَدَ اللَّهِ. If that natiq, if that speaker was talking about God, you have worshipped God. And then says that if that natiq, if that speaker was speaking about Iblis, you have certainly indeed worshipped Iblis. So it's very delicate. Not everything from everywhere can be taken. Not every knowledge from everyone can be sought. Be careful in what you get, what we get, what we collect. If that knowledge is wrong, it's definitely going to contaminate. So, Ra'sul hikmati afdhalul ilm. So we have to be smart. And the best of the wisdom is that we pick and choose the best of knowledge, so that we benefit from that. We have one master, and this master does every positive task until the day of judgment. One of the ulama of our time is Faiz Kashani, who has this tafsir, and he has mentioned an amazing hadith in that tafsir, which is a hadith al-Qudsi. Says that on a dark night on this earth, I heard the Almighty say labbaik. Allah says labbaik to someone who was calling him on this earth. And the person who reports and narrates, he says that I scanned everyone over there. There wasn't anyone in that village, in that town, who was calling God. But there was an idol worshipper sitting in front of an idol, worshipping that idol, saying, Rab, Ya Rab, Ya Rab. And God, this merciful God that we have, He says that I knew that No matter how much he says Ya Rab before that idol, he would never reply to him. And I did not want him to want to turn him away from that hope which he has in that God, although that God is fake before him. I provide him. Wow. That is the mercy of Allah. That even to that idol worshipper, he provides. He says, Labbaik. Says that he has hope in that idol that would never reply, but I am answering on his behalf. We have such a merciful God who has that much of grace. And that grace and mercy of Allah, no one can define, no one can describe, no one can talk about it at all. It's impossible. So we have to know who this God, who we have faith in, is. This is Tawheed. Tawheed is Sirf, or Sirf al-Tawheed, as they say. And this monotheism, this Tawheed, was on its peak with the 72 present in Karbala. By God, not one person has the weight of one of these 72 from the entire creation of Allah. Not one person. No one can be compared with the ma'rifah which they possess. The companions, among the companions, from the first and until the last, no one like them will ever come, nor was ever there in this grand creation of Allah. With reference to Sayyid al-Shuhada, Imam Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, he has the weight of the Prophet. Why? The Prophet says, Husaynun minni wa ana min Husayn. That Husayn is from me and I am from Husayn. You must know what path and whose path we are following, for whom we are investing, and what are we investing. Are we living like the dangerous, ignorance, or not? For whose table he has fed, where are we heading to? Whatever we have is from Allah. We have been fed from the table of Allah. The table that we have, which is laid before us, again, that is from Allah. With all that in mind, where are we heading to? Those who invest themselves to the evil of every time, what end did they have? You have all these tyrants in this history today. You have seen all those tyrants that were mentioned in history. How did they end up? Where did they end up? How are they remembered? How are they reminded? Among them is this tyrant, the Zalim, I did mention yesterday again. And that is during the time of Reza Khan, the Shah of Iran, before this Mal'un who passed away, who eradicated every good thing during his time which was related to Quran and Ahlul Bayt. Shaheed Mudarris also was there during his time. He says, Shaheed Mudarris says to Reza Khan, you will die and also I will die. But we have to see how will you end up and how will I end up. You will end up in a way that nothing of yours will remain on this earth. I will remain. And there will be a shrine of mine. People will come to pay visit to me so long as I endure. And it is the fact. He passed away in the way of God, gave away his life. For the sake of God, was killed by the Shah of that time. And we have his shrine, thousands of people, they go to pay respect and visit him. But that Mal'un, that Shah who eradicated everything of Islam, he was buried. And then later on, after the revolution, they came and they blasted his grave out and they made toilets instead. Yeah. That was the end of that Mal'un. Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salatu wassalam, he says that, says, Irham fi hadhihi dunya ghurbati. Have mercy on me in this dunya, on my wretchedness. That we truly are lonely in this dunya. We are very alone. There is no one who could be a friend of ours better than Allah. Khayra munasan wa anis. Khayra sahibin wa jalis. that there is no friend, there is no munas, there is no one who you could acquaint with better than Allah. There is no companion, there is no one who you could sit with apart from Allah. It's amazing. And this dua, Jush and Kabir, which we have, it is a beautiful dua. You find that how and what a great and a merciful and a kind God which we have. Imam on the day of Ashura says that all this is in your presence, hence to bear it for me. I am comforted because your seeing is that of a buyer. Ma'rifah, and the second is Muhabbah. So first we have to know who we are, where we are coming from, where we are heading to, what is the whole idea of us coming to this dunya, what is the concept in us remaining here and then heading on. Or if you recall your memories yesterday, it was mentioned by Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says that this dunya of yours is a test center. Akhirah is a race where you will be given that cup and where you will enter the paradise. Ma'rifah was the first one. The second one is Mahabba. When you know him, you love him. You love the means that help you. Whatsoever he has made for you, you love him. The ahkam which he has for you, you love them. Now the means, the requirements which you have in your day-to-day life, you love them. You've got a house you love because it's a means of your rest. You go there, you rest. You're at ease. Your wife, your children, you love them because, again, you get support from them. You are comforted by their presence. Your car, you love it because it helps you. It gets you to your destination. It helps you travel. Your wealth, you love it. The reason for that, from that wealth, it nourishes you. So God, he has bestowed in abundance. As a result, you become an aashiq. Now these things which are immediately, you are responsible for them, you love them. So we have to make it as such that God who has provided everything for us, we love him. We love that God. In dua ziyarat Aminullah, which is a small ziyarah, reported from Ma'soom, and whosoever has a need, a requirement, a wish, that he wants that to be granted, especially related to this dunya, your worldly affairs, may that be getting married, may that be your financial issues, etc., etc., says that if someone recites this ziyarah, which is ziyarat Aminullah, for 40 days, intends the ninth imam, and then recites that ziyarat, he will see a result and get a result by the end of that 40th day. There, imam says that, Allahumma inna qulub al-mukhbitina ilayka walihatun, that God, certainly the hearts of the humble, they are walihatun. They are anxious. They are very anxious. Or if you look into the sayings of Sayyid al-Shuhada, the love which he has with Allah is amazing. He says that لَقَدْ تَرَكْتُ الْخَلْقَ طُرًّا فِي هَوَاكَ, that God, I left behind the entire creation, all of it, for the sake of you. And then says وَأَيْتَمْتُ الْعَيَالَ كَيْ أَرَاكَ, and all these children, my household, I offer them so that I see you. فَلَوْ قَطَعْتَنِي بِالْحُبِّ إِرْبًا إِرْبًا, says that if for this love, if you had just sliced me into pieces and pieces, thousands of pieces, لَمَا مَالَ الْفُعَادُ إِلَىٰ سِوَاكَ, that this heart of mine will never move a bit, shift a bit to anyone but you. This is about it. That is that love which we have. He has. First, it's that ma'rifah, he knows him, and then, with that love, that performance is there. And the third one is jihad, which is striving in the way of Allah. And jihad, it has many applicables. Among them is the battle, among them is the jihad, which is fighting with one's soul and nafs. And all of these three issues, which is ma'rifah, which is mahabba, and which is jihad, were seen in Karbala, and by all these 72. Our fifth Imam, he says that Abi Abdullah was ruined. He was being killed by his patients. Now what does this mean? We have qatl al-sabr, you might have heard of it, and that means torture. Qatl al-sabr is killing someone by patience, not just shooting them, not using a dagger, not using a bullet, not using a sword, but by patience. Or in today's vocabulary, you can call it torture. Qatl al-sabr was abandoned by Rasulullah. That was something which existed in the time of ignorance, jahiliyyah. And people, they used to dig a pit and they used to fill the walls of that pit with swords, daggers, spears, knives, everything sharp, thorns, bushes, herbs. Everything was present in that pit, and the animal, goat or camel or cow, whatever it was, they used to put that animal in that, and there wasn't any way to escape from that pit. And that animal, when it used to rush to the wall, used to get cut and scraped and crushed with those spears and knives around it. And the more it was dehydrated, the more it ran and the more it got wounded. That was a torture which existed during the time of Jahiliyyah. Rasulullah, he abandoned it. In one of the sentences from Imam, he was, we find that if Sayyid al-Shuhada was not attacked by Shimr, was not killed by Shimr on that day of Ashura, by these different types of tortures which he saw on that day, definitely he would have perished on that afternoon of Ashura, even though if Shimr had not killed him. Was it due to the thirst? No. Hunger? No. Was it due to being stranded? No. Stressed? No. When Imam comes by the side of Abu Abdullah Hussein, he's Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, he says that, Abbas, you've passed away. The stress that I have of your passing away will not make me live for long. Why do they say it's qatl sabr? Why did they say torture? Imam Zaman says that Imam, when he had fallen in that pit, he was worried about the household. He wanted to see them again. Now when they saw he wants to get up, they attacked from all sides with swords, daggers, spears, knives. And Imam, he has no strength to fight anymore. He has no strength to get up. Just by the shrine of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, we've got that river. From that river, was there not just a cup of water that could be provided to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein? There were 30,000 who participated over there. Wasn't there just a one cup that would have been offered to Abu Abdullah? Imam, he says that لَيْتَكُمْ فِي يَوْمِ عَاشُورَ جَمِيعًا تَنْظُرُونِي كَيْفَ أَسْتَسْقِي لِذِفْلٍ وَأَبَوْ أَيْنِ يَرْحَمُونَ. That I wish you were there on the day of Ashura to see that how I pleaded for some water, not for myself, for that thifl, for that infant. فَأَبَوْ أَيْ يَرْحَمُونِ. And they refrain from helping me. And then he says that وَسَقَوْهُ سَهْمَ بَغْيًا, that they did quench his thirst, but how? With a spear that landed onto his throat. Those malign. It's amazing that how a person could be so much dark-hearted. Zainul Abidin, he was in Medina. From Minhal bin Omar Kufi, he does not inquire about Harmala. He does not inquire about Shimr. He does not inquire about Khudi. He does not inquire about Umar Saad. The only person which he inquires about is Harmala. And then he says that, where is he? What does Imam say? Imam says, and this person, he says that, we haven't seen him for quite a long time. When this message was given to Mukhtar, that Imam, when we met him, he did not inquire about any one of these malain, neither Umar Saad, neither Shinor Shim, nor that Khuli. He only inquired about Harmala. And then he said that Imam's words, when he inquires about this Mal'oon, he says that God make it as such that this Mal'oon, he tastes the sharpness of iron and the heat of your fire in this dunya. Mukhtar, he says that we just got him today and I will see him. And it so happens that when this ruthless person, this evil creature is caught and Mukhtar inquires him, he says, now it's understood that they are going to kill me. They are going to kill me. Let them burn their liver and their hearts. Let them put them into flares even more with what he has committed, with what Harmala committed. What did he say? Mukhtar asks, what did you do? And this Mal'oon, he says that, when I came to Karbala, I had 10 of these sharp, poisoned spears with me. And he says that not all of these 10 were used by me. Just a few of them. And the rest I've got them. And says that one of them I hit onto the eye of Qamar ibn Hashim, Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. And then says the second one I hit onto the heart of Sayyid al-Shuhada. And the third one, it is when Sahaba Abdullah al-Hussein is leaving for the final call. And then he comes to the household, to the tent, and says that, farewell to all of you. And then says, can I say farewell to my infant? And that infant, Abdullah Rabi, or Ali Asghar, he is given to Sayyid al-Shuhada. And he wants to say farewell to that infant. And this Mal'oon, he says that I hit the third spear onto the neck of this infant. And فَوَقَعَ فِي نَحْرِهِ مِنَ الْوَرِيدِ إِلَى الْوَرِيدِ. And this spear landed onto the neck of Asghar and severed this tiny throat of Asghar. أَنَا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ اللهم لعن أول ظالم ظلم حق محمد وآل محمد وآخر تابع له على ذلك اللهم لعن العصابة التي جاهدت الحسين وشايعت وبايعت وتابعت على قتله اللهم لعنهم جميعا.